Gary and Shannon. Okay, excuse me. Couldn't even get it out. Couldn't even get the first part out.
Why don't you just take the rest of the day off?
You know what I'm going to.
See you later.
Thank you. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeart Radio app. Did you hear the story about the little kid from Jerry Maguire?
Bees and dogs can smell fair.
A human head weighs 8 pounds.
Let's go to the zoo. Let's go right now.
Love that kid.
Well, apparently he's a badass. He is an MMA-trained fighter who is using his two friends left and right to help escort people to and from synagogue to protect them.
Jeopardy's average viewer is 65 years old. That's down from the average age of 70 back in 2000. So see? Getting younger every day.
Every single day.
When you're 65, do you get to watch?
I don't know if there's a...
You don't know what the rules are?
Yeah. I'll have to inquire. Send an actual... I don't know, a letter to the editors, I suppose. Mm. To management. I'll say that. Letter to management. We'll get into Swamp Watch at the bottom of the hour. One of the issues that's come up is that we've seen now a federal mandate. Department of Veterans Affairs says 115,000 frontline healthcare workers must be vaccinated against the coronavirus. We've seen in California the discussion of healthcare workers either proving they're vaccinated or get tested continuously. So we'll talk about that in the context of the numbers that we have seen, the number of infections, the number of positive tests, when we get into Swamp Watch at 12:30.
What else is going on?
Time for What's Happening.
Well, the Olympics are happening. Did you catch any over the weekend?
I saw a lot of them over the weekend. I was particularly enthralled by some of the skateboarding stuff. Street skateboarding, where you do one trick and you try to do it three or four times. And there was a, I believe it was a Polish skateboarder who missed the trick, was facing backwards as the skateboard went out from underneath him. And he married a post, a metal post. He became so physically, genetically intertwined with, I shouldn't say genetically, I should say, genitalically combined with that post that I was crying for 45 minutes.
That sounds painful.
It was really painful.
Well, we have the first openly transgender athlete participating in the Olympics, Quinn, a midfielder for the Canadian women's soccer team. Played Wednesday night in Canada's 1-1 draw with Japan. Not the only transgender athlete participating in the games. Probably the most visible, they say, is Laurel Hubbard, a transgender woman competing in weightlifting for New Zealand. Chelsea Wolf is a transgender cyclist, a reserve on the U.S. women's BMX freestyle team.
There is the possibility we'll see several more athletes compete in Tokyo. Nikki Hiltz didn't qualify for the women's 1500 meters in the track and I should say there was the possibility. She did not qualify. CeCe Telfer declared ineligible in her run for the 400-meter hurdles. Volleyball player Tiffany Abreu did not make Brazil's Olympic final roster. I'm curious if 4 years from now, are we going to have more and more headlines about more and more transgender athletes, or 4 years from now, we're just going to go, oh, yeah, big deal.
Right. It won't make news.
The Philippines won its first Olympic gold after nearly 100 years of trying. The weightlifter, Hildelyn Diaz, made history today, winning the Philippines' first gold medal at the Summer Olympics.
Wow.
She won... Is Hildelyn? Yes, women's. She won the 55-kilogram category of women's weightlifting, set an Olympic record with a combined weight total of 224 kilograms. Across two successful lifts.
She said, I sacrificed a lot. I wasn't able to be with my mother and father for how many months and years. And then, of course, training was excruciating, but God had a plan. That sounds terrible.
Jeff Bezos offers to cover $2 billion in NASA costs in exchange for an astronaut lunar lander contract. He said he would cover up to $2 billion in the costs in order to build that, I guess, rover that you would say to land astronauts on the moon. NASA gave 10-month study contracts to SpaceX, Blue Origin, and Dynetics to begin work on lunar landers.
Well, the drought means that baby salmon are dying by the thousands because the drought is allowing a parasite to thrive in places like the Klamath River. Wildlife officials say Sacramento River is facing a near complete loss of young Chinook salmon due to abnormally warm water. Wow.
The plummeting fish, the number of fish out there, has already led to retail prices for salmon very, very high, hurting customers who say they can no longer afford 35 wow. pounds, $35 a pound
wow.
for salmon.
That's insane.
Federal fisheries predicted in May that more than 80% of baby salmon could die because of the warmer water in the Sacramento River.
Did you hear about this wild story from United Airlines? They had to evacuate a plane that was ready for takeoff after multiple passengers received this ominous text message. It was evacuated ahead of takeoff at SFO on Thursday. Apparently, a teenager who was on board sent a picture of an airsoft gun to other passengers using AirDrop. It was headed for Orlando, and it was getting ready to leave the gate when several passengers received this photo of a realistic-looking toy gun. Everyone on the aircraft was forced to deboard, go through security screening a second time. That teenager was not allowed back on the flight.
Why would he do that?
I don't know. They do dumb crap.
There is a great video, if you have not yet seen this, of a group of bystanders literally lifting a drunk driver's car off of a mom and a baby that were trapped underneath it. A video released by the Yonkers police showed this incident where a driver rams into a parked car, then hits a woman carrying her child, drives straight into a barber shop with the woman on the hood of the car. Two police officers nearby, they rushed to the scene along with the people who were there and saw it, lifted and pushed the car up to free the baby that was trapped under the car. Both mom and baby had to be hospitalized, but they said they're doing extremely well. The eight-month-old had a fractured skull. The mom had a compound leg fracture. Ouchies.
Ouchies. Civil rights activist Robert Moses has died. It went by Bob. He worked to dismantle segregation as the Mississippi field director of the Student Nonviolent Coordinating Committee during the Civil Rights Movement. Was central to the 1964 Freedom Summer, in which hundreds of students went to the South to get voters registered. 86 years old.
Former President Obama said, quote, Bob Moses was a hero of mine. His quiet confidence helped shape the civil rights movement, and he inspired generations of young people looking to make a difference. Born in Harlem back in 1935, just 2 months after a race riot there in Harlem killed three people and injured 60 in the neighborhood.
Coming up next, the kid from Jerry Maguire seems to be a bit of a hero. Locally, too.
Gary and Shannon will continue in just a moment.
Does Mariah just pick fights with everyone? She's way out of hand.
Better watch your pronouns.
Way out of line.
Gary and Shannon. KFI AM 640 live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. You can join us on Instagram and Twitter at Gary and Shannon. You can also email us gasbag@iHeartMedia.com. John wrote in and said, when I used to live with some roommates back in the 90s, I used to get the final Jeopardy whenever we watched it. We'd watch it in the living room. But before Final Jeopardy, I go in my room and I call my mom in Arizona and get the answer. Jeopardy would have aired 30 minutes earlier in Arizona.
I used to do that too when I lived in Colorado. And I'd call and my parents were just like, Amy's, or it was my little brother. And I'd call and give him the answer. And then he'd get it, you know, immediately. And they're like, oh my God, Rob, you're going to have to go on these shows. You're so smart.
How does it feel to be like the Astros?
Oh, wow.
It felt pretty good, Shannon.
That would be kind of fun to trick your parents into thinking you were some sort of genius,
mm-hmm.
right, at a young age.
Because they know we're not, you know.
They're like, where did this come
it's
from?
It's like the big surprise.
Well, Jonathan Lipnicki, you remember him from Jerry Maguire and other things, although I don't know of any other things.
I don't know either.
He says he's still acting, but Jonathan Lipnicki is using his MMA and jiu-jitsu to protect Orthodox Jews from attacks.
Apparently, he and fellow actor and martial artist Remy Franklin learned that a group of men attacked Jewish diners outside Sushi Fumi in L.A. in May. Apparently, writer-activist Tabby Raphael tweeted video of the incident, writing as a caption that the attackers drove by, allegedly yelling, F the Jews. Threw bottles, they attacked a Jewish customer, and some of the customers fought back.
This was his description of an incident. Jonathan Lipnicki caught up to by a TMZ photographer.
There have been a lot of anti-Semitic hate crimes and violence towards Jews. And one of my good friends, Remington Franklin, he's actually over there. He started this group where we decided to make sure people got home and to the synagogue safely, so to and from the synagogue safely, families, women, children, because everybody should have the right to worship without being, discriminated against. Went with the, rise in the hate crimes and like the Sushi Fumi incident, Remy, took it upon himself to organize. And we have a lot of friends, a lot of us are martial artists or own martial arts gyms, and not all of us are Jewish. It's just people wanting to help other people.
Jonathan Lipnicki is 30 years old.
Oh my gosh, my everything was ruined when I looked up a current picture of that cute little kid from Jerry Maguire. He's been involved in jiu-jitsu for 14 years. He just got his black belt last year. He says it's been a huge part of my life. It's really helped me overcome a lot of different things in my life in different areas because obviously physically. Told ESPN in 2012 he began training while in high school, started fighting competitively. Soon after, his entire family became involved. Now they own an MMA promotion company.
He referred to his friend there, Remy Franklin, who was standing nearby, also an MMA guy. The TMZ camera crew also asked Remy Franklin, and this was an interesting thing, that people have targeted specifically Orthodox Jews at specific times for a very interesting purpose.
We had a bunch of people screaming horrible Nazi slurs up and down the street on a regular basis. And they do it specifically on Friday and Saturday when the Orthodox can't carry their phones or don't carry their phones, so they can't come for help. A couple people tried to run over some kids. There's a rabbi that almost got run over in this parking lot.
Good Lord.
You name it. So a kid was paintballed a couple weeks ago, like multiple things. So it's not just limited to that. It just consistently keeps happening.
Bullies of any sort or people who, promote hatred don't like when there's a presence there. And I think having a presence is a huge deterrent. And I'm glad that people's eyes have been opened about the Asian community. I think there are a lot of communities that don't get enough support. The Armenian community, for one. I think that if you don't stand against all hate, you don't stand against any.
Right.
And you have to.
Okay, well, we're getting into the cliches now. But the Guardian Angels worked on that premise for 50 years, when they organized in New York City. Simply being present there often discourages, not always, but often can discourage people from doing stupid and potentially violent acts against other people.
Well, we have new data about the rarity of breakthrough infections, and we will get an update on that when we come back to Gary and Shannon. Swamp Watch kicks off. We'll dive into all things Washington. Also, what you need to know about that summer rental car. Is that even a possibility? Where we stand with the dearth of rental cars out there? And don't forget, we're going to go live to Tokyo coming up, too.
Gary and Shannon will continue right
Call
after
this. Call John and Ken.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Top of the hour, we're going to talk about your travel plans. Might be cheaper to just buy a car than it is to try to rent a car. American Airlines also warning pilots and other members of their teams about fuel delivery delays, especially mid-size airports. They're having a hard time because of truck driver shortages, truck shortages, and then just simple jet fuel shortages. So they're asking the pilots to make sure that they, fly efficiently, I guess? Slow down a little bit? I don't know.
Well, we are getting some new data about the rarity of these breakthrough infections, the infections that could hit from the COVID once you're already inoculated.
And that's going to start driving some policy. We'll talk about that to kick off Swamp Watch.
The swamp is horrible.
So government doesn't work.
Come on, man.
We're going to make this like a reality TV show.
Corn Pop was a bad dude.
It's always a pleasure to be anywhere but Washington, D.C.
Hey, Joe.
Hey, Esther.
A town all too clearly built on a swamp, and in so many ways, still a swamp.
That's a bunch of malarkey.
Somebody said drain the swamp. I said, oh, that's so hokey.
Keep yapping, man.
Swamp Watch.
You know the thing.
Mark Remillard is on the story and joins us now. Mark, what does this new data tell us about these breakthroughs?
Yeah, there was an internal CDC document that was obtained by ABC News that looked at an estimate that the CDC had put together on how many of these breakthrough cases are we seeing in fully vaccinated people. Now, the data seems to be a little outdated here, maybe a week or so, because the data showed that there were, according to this document, 156 million Americans fully vaccinated at the time. That number's a little higher now. But at that point, the CDC was looking at that number, 156 million Americans fully vaccinated, and said that there were approximately, or an estimated number, of about 153,000 symptomatic breakthrough cases. And so what that comes down to is it shows how rare these cases really are, even though, of course, when they do occur, they get a lot of attention. But that represents only 0.9% of fully vaccinated people getting symptomatic COVID-19. Now, there are certainly, it's believed, asymptomatic breakthrough infections, but at least the people who actually got somewhat sick from this, or even severely sick, seems to be quite rare. At, as I said, only 0.9%.
Is there anything in those papers, in the information from the CDC, that breaks that down even further? And the by saying, if you're fully vaccinated and 35 years old, you're not going to go to the hospital. Is there a way to break it down demographically and say 85 years old and above, but you're fully vaccinated, you're still technically at risk?
Yeah, so there, the data, I do have some data pertaining to that in terms of more on a state or local level. For example, in Massachusetts, there were, I'm looking at the numbers here, 5,166 cases of breakthrough cases in the state. 4,800 of those ended in no hospitalization or death. So now we're talking about a hospitalization rate of just 0.006%, so 0.06%, and only 80 people died in that case. And those 80 people that did die who were fully vaccinated tended to be on an older population, tended to be people with underlying conditions, so or perhaps a combination of the two. So in terms of the people that are ending up, who are fully vaccinated, ending up in the hospital, and the rare cases of in which people actually died, it does appear to follow that trend of what we've seen with COVID-19 in general, that older populations are at a higher risk, populations who have these underlying conditions are at a higher risk, and so that does appear to follow through, at least in this early numbers that we've seen. And we saw a similar data as well in New Jersey. For example, in that state, they've had 49 deaths of breakthrough cases. And according to their Department of Health, 27 of those individuals, so more than half of them, had pre-existing conditions. So again, it kind of follows that trend that we've seen.
And I would be curious also if the other half included people who were over the age of 7.
Over the age.
Yeah. I mean, that's perhaps one of the most frustrating things about the way this story has been covered. And I say that as a member of the media, and it's not to blame you, Mark, or ABC, or anybody, or KFI. It's that when we talk about breakthrough infections, it's hard for the storyteller or the story itself to include the scope and the magnitude, or whatever the opposite of those words would be, to explain how rare a breakthrough infection even is, and how even in comparison to that, how rare it would be that you would actually have to go to the hospital because of a fully right. vaccinated infection.
Right. It is extraordinarily rare, as we're seeing in those numbers, right? Symptomatic illness 9/10 of a percent, and then on this, it's varying by state, but in some states as low as 6/100 of a percent that you actually end up in the hospital, for example, in Massachusetts. But what I think this does show, though, is the continued, you know, there are some people who are not getting the vaccines because they don't trust it or they don't think they're safe. And I think there are other people who don't think they need it, right? And we've seen this with lower, younger populations who have not gone out and gotten vaccinated at the same rate as older populations. And perhaps the thinking is, well, I don't really need it because if I get sick from COVID, I'm probably not going to end up in the hospital and I'm probably not going to die from it. But I think this can go to show as well that there are even people who are fully vaccinated, that no vaccine is 100%. And so from there, those younger populations can still spread the disease, even to vaccinated people. It is rare, but it is still possible. So I think, you know, it can go to say that, yes, you know, there's the talk about whether or not this is an individual decision about getting vaccinated or a broader decision. But nevertheless, you can still spread the disease, and even to an extent, vaccinated people can. But again, when we're looking at this country right now, and I think we've seen this from, heard this from Fauci and Walensky at the CDC, is this tale of two countries, right? The unvaccinated and the vaccinated. Right now, 27,000 people are in the hospital with COVID-19. 97% of them are unvaccinated. So I think the focus is still on that. But you're right, Gary, to talk about how rare these cases are, that someone actually ends up in the hospital or actually dies from COVID-19 once they've been fully vaccinated.
Mark Remillard, thank you. Appreciate all the data.
My pleasure.
All right, coming up next, the chair of former President Trump's 2017 inaugural committee has pleaded not guilty to charges of secretly working as an agent for the United Arab Emirates. Made kind of a bizarre statement after he left court today. We'll tell you about Tom Barak when we return.
Gary and Shannon will continue with Swamp Watch. Sipping on straight glory.
Gary and Shannon, KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app. Join us on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook at Gary and Shannon. You can email us, gasbag@iheartmedia.com. David wrote to us on Twitter. Last night I had a dream. I was at work listening to KFI as usual, and the Friday Gary and Shannon music started to play. Marky Mark. I got all happy because that means work's almost over. It's Friday. I woke up and yelled, crap. It's freaking Monday.
Sorry, David. That sucks. Oh, boy. In the middle of Swamp Watch, we talk about what's going on in Washington, D.C. Today, the president agreed to formally conclude the U.S. combat mission in Iraq by the end of the year. Another step towards winding down our very, very long military engagements that started after the September 11th attacks. He had a meeting earlier today with Iraqi Prime Minister Mustafa al-Kadhimi, his first meeting with the Iraqi prime minister since he took office. This is not going to result in the withdrawal of Americans out of Iraq, however, as we saw the vast majority of them leaving Afghanistan. There are currently 2,500 troops stationed in Iraq, and officials declined to say how that number would change after this announcement. The U.S. and Iraq are expected to announce that the U.S. mission there, though, would fully shift away from combat to an advisory role by the end of this year.
Tom Barak, a longtime advisor to former President Trump, pleaded not guilty today on charges that he secretly acted as an agent for the United Arab Emirates. He chaired Trump's inaugural committee. He was arraigned in federal court in Brooklyn on the 7-count indictment, appeared along with Nathan Grimes, his former aide, who's charged with 2 counts. Attorneys for both men entered pleas of not guilty on their behalf. He is charged with failing to register as a foreign agent, conspiracy, obstruction of justice, 4 counts of making false statements to the FBI. Prosecutors say he put pro-United Arab Emirates language into a Trump campaign speech in May of 2016, that he took direction from UAE officials about what to say in media appearances and in an op-ed he wrote, and agreed to promote the Middle Eastern nation's favored candidate for the U.S. ambassadorship there. He said in a weird statement distributed by his attorney after he left court The important thing for us to remember is 3 miles from here, standing in the middle of New York Harbor, is the Statue of Liberty with a torch in her hand, signifying enlightenment, welcoming the 7 continents across the 7 seas to bring her the immigrant masses to give them tolerance, liberty, and justice. Blah, blah, blah. My grandparents came here in 1896 and 1900 from humble and simple beginnings. And it just goes on and on. It's this lengthy, you know, we're in the middle of a very heated moment, he writes, and I can only tell you that the hardest steel is forged from the hottest fire.
Oh, stop.
Good Lord.
Did he do it or didn't he do it? Why didn't he just come out and say that?
We don't need a freaking speech about the Statue of Liberty.
Yeah, I feel like those speeches have been done.
They've been done.
Well, tomorrow is going to be a huge day in Washington, D.C. It is the first hearing of the January 6th Select Committee to investigate the riot at the Capitol. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi yesterday named a second Republican to that committee, Congressman Adam Kinzinger, to the special committee to investigate. He said he humbly accepted the appointment, even though the Republican Party leadership in the House is boycotting the whole thing. The committee's going to hold its first hearing tomorrow and hear from the police officers, some of them who fought with the rioters. Nancy Pelosi has said that it's imperative to learn what happened on January 6th and why the violent siege took place. That mission, she said, must be pursued in a bipartisan manner to ensure such an attack can never happen again. Now, Adam Kinzinger, the congressman out of Illinois, she said would bring, quote, great patriotism to the committee's mission to find the facts and to protect our democracy. He has been extremely critical of the former president involved in all of this. He will join Liz Cheney, Republican also from Wyoming, who were selected by Nancy Pelosi. Kevin McCarthy then turned this into a name-calling game where he says they're Pelosi Republicans, which is one of those silly, it doesn't mean anything, name-calling activities that we see in Washington, D.C. too often. He says that this is a sham process. We mentioned it last week. We know what is going to be said. We know what the democratically controlled panel is going to come up with for their final report. There will be zero surprises in all of this. So in along those lines, yeah, I agree with Kevin McCarthy. This is just a process that's already been spelled out. The conclusions have already been come to by different people in the Democratic Party. You don't want Jim Banks of Indiana. You don't want Jim Jordan of Ohio to be on that panel. Fine, according to Kevin McCarthy, we won't be involved at all.
Remember Chasen Buttigieg, Pete's husband?
Sure.
Well, the Washington Post did an article about his time in Washington and how he is a stranger in a very strange land. And they talked to Chasen about how he, you know, like the rest of us, put on a couple pounds during the quarantine. So the pandemic restrictions began easing. He decided he's got the vaccine safely in his arm. He started looking for a gym to join in D.C. Of course, Pete became the Secretary of Transportation. He found one on Capitol Hill. He said it seemed like it was nice enough until one of the gym's personal trainers approached him and explained that he also worked as a lobbyist and that his boss would be upset if he didn't take the opportunity to ask Chasen to pass along some information to Pete. And Chasen's like, well, I can't go here. Can't go to the lobbyist gym. And he said, you know, he had been warned that before they moved to Washington, that work is play and play is work. He says, you know, 6 months in, I can't believe how true it is. Like anytime you think you're relaxing, you're working, especially on the Hill. Cocktails, dinners, drinks. Everyone says no work tonight. Then 2 minutes go by and they're talking about a pipeline or a bill or a package.
I could totally see that.
Yeah.
That would drive me insane. That amazes me that he'd be surprised by that.
Yeah.
Not that Pete was, you know, he was the mayor of what? Indianapolis?
South Bend. And then also, we saw Gavin Newsom up on the telly, right?
Yes.
Up on CNN.
Yep.
Apparently, he compared unvaccinated people to drunk drivers.
Okay.
Gavin Newsom's quote was this. It's like drunk drivers. You don't have the right to go out and drink and drive and put everybody else at risk, including your own life.
I don't think that works.
I don't think I'd use that analogy.
He did say this earlier today, not the CNN interview, but earlier today he was talking about the new requirement that all state workers and all healthcare workers in California either prove they're vaccinated or submit to testing over and over again.
We're exhausted by the Ron Johnsons and the Tucker Carlsons. We're exhausted by the Marjorie Taylor Greens. We're exhausted by the right-wing echo chamber that has been perpetuating misinformation around the vaccine and its efficacy and safety. Mm.
One of the things that I heard, by the way, this morning was a commercial that talked about the recall effort being a way, being an extension of denying the outcome of the 2020 election, that it's paid for simply by Republican Party, that it's all right-wing Trump people who want to see Gavin Newsom kicked out of office. That is following that exact same script.
Echo chamber that has been perpetuating misinformation around the vaccine and its efficacy and safety.
Everybody's got an echo chamber, dude. Your echo chamber has been just as loud as other people's echo chambers when it comes to misinformation about everything that's been going on. It's shameless.
Coming up next, where do we stand when it comes to rental cars for the summer? Do we have any reserves coming back? Can you get a rental car? I know that when I go up to Tahoe next week, flying into Sacramento, my brother's got to pick us up because there are no rental cars.
What about those? What about one of those services where you rent somebody's car? And I don't mean like Hertz. I mean Jeff.
Jeff down the street.
Yeah.
All right. We'll talk to Alex Stone about where we stand when we come back to Gary and Shannon.